we have boycotted Parliament for the past 2 years. We have evaluated our situation, listened to the people, look at where we are. We have raised the awareness significantly of the importance of electoral reform and moving in that direction. We have used different forums and different ways and means of educating the people, and even through the courts, the petitions and the dual citizen matter, this has raised the awareness in the country, and we have done a lot of work in ensuring that we move in that direction. We have spent over $200,000 to bring that message across, going through the courts, bring that message across to the people. And we see it as going to Parliament is adding towards that goal in ensuring that we have electoral.
Shouldn't it have been the other way around, being in Parliament and working in Parliament and using other forums as well, so we didn't need to boycott Parliament?
It was done before. From 2005 to 2009, the United Workers Party have been doing that in Parliament.
And that's why you're elected to be in Parliament.
No, but then you look at ways and means to bring out the message to the people. And that is why we said, we didn't say out just for staying out's sake. We continued. Only Parliament, we were not participating fully. But we have been out there doing our work.
But you've had some concerns about Parliament. The UWP feels the Speaker is biased. Right. You feel you're not getting a fair deal in Parliament. What is the strategy that you're going to use to make sure that you are as effective as you can be, and I mean the UWP, in Parliament?
Well, we'll do everything within the law. We will do everything within the standing orders to ensure that we get our message across. Already we have seen the Speaker have been interfering for questions. There's a question I asked about the diplomatic passports and funding from the passport, and the Speaker asked me, struck out a part of my question. She told me if I don't want to strike it out, the question might not go forward, and it might be there for the next sitting, or remove that last section of the question totally, or I think she gave me three choices, and I had to take out that part of the question, be asking for the names of the people, the names and the institution.
But can't you raise that as a supplementary when you are actually in the Parliament, even though it has been struck out?
No, we will try to do it. But if you ask the question, the Minister of Foreign Affairs has no choice but to answer that question before we get to the House. Even though we ask for oral response, he has to answer that question in the House. But the Speaker is already putting a stumbling block. She should be a facilitator. She should be.
So how do you deal with that? Because you keep on saying the Speaker is biased. You go into Parliament. Or what is the effective way of getting over that?
Well, I think we brought out the awareness to the people. Now the people have to look at, yes, you all stayed out. Go back to you ask us to go back to the House and deal with the issues and see how we can get past the Speaker. We have to do it as mature individuals. We have to do it as professionals. So go out and deal with the issues and let Dominican see she continues. Continue to be a stumbling block, and she has to go out, come into the House and say, let me change my ways and let me afford the opposition the opportunity within the laws of the House to make the contribution.
Any plans to have a motion of censure against the Speaker as a former Prime Minister Patrick John has suggested?
We look at we got a lot of suggestions. We have been looking at everything, evaluating our position from month to month. Every session
but
of
if you feel so strongly that the Speaker is biased, shouldn't you try to do something about it?
Well, that's why we're doing something about it, by going in the House, asking our questions. Let us see if she'll give us the opportunity to move ahead. There's another chance for us to maybe put a motion of no confidence against the Speaker in the next sitting. But this sitting, we are trying to get information from the Speaker, through the Speaker, from the Ministers of Government. We have asked several questions. I've asked about the traveling of the Prime Minister. Since in March of 2011, we have not received any answers. We have to ask. I asked another question last sitting about the retirement of advances of the Prime Minister, and we have not received any answers. And these are the things that we have that constant stumbling.
How do you know you have not received any answers? You were not in the Parliament. They may have responded in the Parliament.
No, they cannot. We ask for written response. Written response, if you look at Section 24.4 in the standing order, or 22.4 in the standing orders of the House, you will see that written response has to be sent to the clerk of the house, and the clerk of the house make it available to the person answering. I'm asking the questions.
But it is good that you're going back to Parliament. I'm sure your constituents will be very happy that you are. You, though, are the parliamentary leader of the party.
Yeah.
Edison James is the new political leader of the party, and he's sitting right there in Parliament. How comfortable are you going to be as parliamentary leader? Is it now just a ceremonial thing for you? He's going to be the de facto leader anyway.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be having Mr. James, Mr. Green, and Mr. Prevost going to assist us tremendously as young politicians.
Mr. Green is there as a senator?
Yes, he's still there as a senator. So it's not, I do not see it as a de facto
leader. But are you really going to be the parliamentary leader? Because
the political leader
is standing right there, and he's your leader, he's your boss.
I am the leader of the opposition in Parliament. He's the leader of the United Workers' Party, and I'll be playing my role as the leader of the opposition.
But many people might say he should be the parliamentary leader, he's the party leader.
No, that is what many people might say, but as it stands right now, and I'm happy that I got the opportunity to serve as the leader of the opposition. It has helped me in my political career.
Aren't you going to be looking over your shoulder thinking, what is Edison thinking?
No,
what is he going to say?
No.
How much of a leader are you going to be with your political leader right inside there?
No, I don't shine you. No, I don't think so, but I'm going to be a leader that's going to learn, and that is important. You're going to learn from the people who have experience in the House, Mr. Prevost, Mr. Green, Mr. James. They have experience in the House. Mr. James was leader of the opposition before. Mr. Green was leader of the opposition before. But as a young leader of the opposition, I believe that the opportunity that I'm getting will expose me to bringing a new way of thinking, a new way of maybe approaching different situations. They might have the situations outstanding with the speaker. As a new person in the house, maybe it might bring us a bit. I'm trying to see if we can extend the olive branch.